All right, there we go. We are live now. TGIF, everybody. Happy Friday out there to the YouTube side as well as the Gun Channel side where we are simulcasting. Looks like G-Webs and Girk hanging out over there. So, hello, fellas. Just for good measure, like we always do, I'll drop that link for the Gun Channel side in there to the YouTube folks. A few of you might not be familiar with that. If you're not, I guess maybe you live under a rock. I don't know. But that is where all the cool kids hang out. So definitely go check that out. Since we're talking about other platforms, we'll go ahead real quick and throw out Gun Streamer. And we'll do that on both sides. We'll do that over here on the Gun Channel side first, and then we'll hit the YouTube side here with it as well. Yeah, Gun Channel is a pretty cool place to hang out. All the replays and the produced content get uploaded there. You are free of the hassles of YouTube, and they do have the mobile apps as well. So go check those out. And then finally, since we're throwing things out, I'll go ahead and plug the old Patreon, because we talked about that at length last night. Patreon is a platform, so there are some places over there to view, you know, just public content. You don't have to pay to play, so to speak. So definitely go over there and check that out. So let's run through the room here, see who all we have hanging out tonight. Looks like G-Webs, he came in early. He was first, and he spammed with all of his accounts there, it looks like. So thank you very much for that, G-Webs. Appreciate it. Grandpa Stanley is out there, as well as Mohawk Boy. The Gun Snob's in the house. Patriot's out there as well. The Tactical Pickle. Calaveras is with us. The Guitar Man. Guitar Man Pete. What is up, my friend? What is up? Scott's out there. Zippy is with us as well. Yeah. So we're starting to get in. Hopefully those notifications will we'll get out and we can get some more people in here and get the show on the road. Guitar Man Pete says there's no chat window on his Gun Channel using the link. Yeah, the chat over on the Gun Channel side, you have to use that chat, I think, on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. I think the actual chat box under the video, I don't think that works too well. So you may have noticed a little difference in title from what was previously thrown out there. There is a reason for that, because now for the second time, Killing Mac Gunworks has canceled on me. I'm not altogether too thrilled about that, but it's their loss at the end of the day, not mine. So let's move forward, I guess now. Because we're going to talk shock a little bit with Swagger Bipods. I don't know if Mad Sexy is out there. If he is, chime in. And reminder to everybody, if you don't chime into the chats, we don't know you're out there. So, and we certainly want to say hi and all of that good stuff. But yeah, Mad Sexy was the winner of the Swagger Bipod here, I don't know, a month ago, a few weeks ago. He's certainly enjoying it. They're pretty cool. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and everything else that they do as well. But before we get to our guest on that, I want to say hey to Ghost to see what's up with him. What's happening?
Long day at work. Got home. Watched a little Shark Week. But talking to you. Life is good, man.
Oh, yeah. It is. Guitar Man Pete out there says more likes than viewers. Yeah, something weird's going on tonight. See Georgia Trucker jumping in out there. What's up? What's up, Trucker?
Oh, by the way, you're handling HMG a lot better than I would. You're handling a lot more classy than I would. So good job.
Well, I just didn't reply. I don't think I'm going to throw out a disparaging video at this point or anything else. Honestly, I think they're getting enough hate for a lot of the ways that either they're handling things or they appear to be handling things, right? So, heck, just me adding on to the pile, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference anyway. But, I'm not real sure. It's really weird because I sent out all my invites. Ghost was the only one here. I don't know. The chat seems a little bit thin for a Friday night, so we'll see as things go on. But we all know how YouTube can be. So odds are, man, maybe the notifications didn't go out. Who knows at this point?
I'm the only one that doesn't have a life, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know that that's it. You know, sometimes things just are weird. And then after the fact, like tomorrow, you'll figure out that some kind of technical glitch or something happened. Now, Guitar Man Pete out there, he says, talk bipods. I'm intrigued with these swaggers. Well, good. We're definitely going to do that. So let's say hey to Dustin. Dustin's been on before. What's happening, Dustin? Uh-oh. Is he muted?
I think he's muted.
There I am. Am I
there? There you go. We got you.
Sorry. Now just kind of chiming in here from a little quick vacation with the family. So they're inside eating, and I stepped out to come on and talk to everybody.
Sweet. So you're missing supper. That's what you're saying?
Yep, I am.
Right. So
no, I actually had to eat. I ate my steak like a freaking Cro-Magnon man a second ago. They gave me a plastic fork and knife to cut a rare steak with, and I just sat there and ate it like a beast.
Right. Well, steak's not meant to be eat slow anyway, man.
No,
come on,
no.
Come on. Ain't got time for all that.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
So. The way I understand, I guess just so we're starting out, everybody kind of starts out on the same page with this. Swagger's like one leg or one arm of a larger company, right?
That is correct. Swagger is owned by Performance Plus Outdoors, which is, I'll say, Swagger is kind of the bastard child of Big and Jay, which is, as a lot of people may know, is pretty much the number one deer attractant in the world. They pretty much rule that category in every sense of the word. And I, you know, we do the Swagger is just kind of an offshoot of that. And, you know, I took over that, you know, the position as the brand manager, about 2 months ago, been knowing them for a while. And Chris, you know, I've been selling them for a while as well and been using them and doing a lot of killing with them for the last several years. So they brought me on board.
Right. Now about how long have they had the first bipod around?
Well, you know, in 2015 is when they did that soft launch is what I'm going to call it, and that was the Gen 1s. And you know, the way they went with it was they had a design, they manufactured it. You know, use the iPhone as an example. You know, when they put the first iPhone out, you know, they already had a new one working, and so they put the first one out in 15. Reworked it in 16, and then now they reworked it again in 17, and you know, we're always evolving, getting some new things going. A lot of people might be used to, you know, what I'm going to say, flat rubber feet on them, if you're familiar with the bipod at all. Well now all the new models have spike feet, you know, which helps out a lot. You know, you can remove the, you know, it comes with a rubber stopper on there, but you can, you know, take that rubber stopper off, have spike feet. It's good for the rocks, good for the dirt. Just overall makes the shooting experience a little bit more enjoyable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, how many different variations that they've had over the years?
Well, there's been three variations, and that's been, you know, like I said, the first one was, you know, was you know, not too far off from where we're at now, but you know, one of the first complaints that we got from people is, well, hey, the legs shake a lot inside of that body when they're not deployed. So we went in and added a little bit of, you know, a little plastic tab inside of the, where the legs slide in there, and that solved that problem. And then,
yeah, that's not worth a flip if you're stalking, is it?
That's exactly right. And so that was an issue that, you know, I don't want to say we never thought about it, but we just never had any true input to, well, this is affecting my stalking.
Right.
So, you know, that was the first variation we made. So that would have been like our 2016 revision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then in 17, we had a lot of people say, man, if there was some spike feet, if this thing had spike feet, it would be so much nicer if you're, you know, in the rocks. Because, you know, the Western market, the elk hunters, the mule deer hunters, the antelope hunters, that's our main market right now, just because they see the true benefit in their area for it. So once they all said, hey, can we put some spike feed on here? We said, great idea. So that was our 2017, you know, change. And so now we're at the new feet. We got the little tab in there that keeps the legs from shaking. You know, and what we've kind of started doing for what we're going to call 18 is, you know, we've got them in several different colors. You know, we've got an FDE now, we've got a OD green, then we've got some camo variations coming out from Vail Camo, and we've kind of partnered with them to do some camo variations.
Gotcha. So pretty easy to tell if somebody was out there, and let's say they were in their local gun shop or a pawn shop or something like that. Maybe they were looking at a rifle that had one on it. Pretty easy for them to tell the generation then.
There. Yeah, that is correct. The feet is the key. If it's got the spike feet, it's what we're going to call the Gen 2 model. You know, it's going to say Hunter Series on the leg. And, you know, the thing with Swagger is we got lifetime warranty. Mm. So if they bought a rifle and it had a Swagger on it, and they said, you know what, I really want these spike feet. Well, just send it to us. We're going to replace. We'll put the legs with the spike feet on there for you. I mean, that's part of, you know, being made in America and being able to back your warranty is we've got the parts in stock. You know, you send it to us, say, hey, I want spike feet. We'll flip it around and put spike feet on it for you.
And so the design, the base design, what you're saying, really hasn't changed.
Not in the slightest. We still have the same body. The same springs and really the same leg design. The only true difference on the leg design now is that, as opposed to just saying Swagger on it, you're going to see Hunter Series. It's going to dictate if it's a 42 inch or if it's a 29 inch. So if it's a, you know, if it's a, it's going to say 129, which means that when it's fully extended, it's 29 inches tall. If it's 142 fully extended, it's 42 inches tall. So that's the variation on the legs, but the spike feet is really the key to what generation you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, as far as the leg options, color options, is there pricing differences if they go out there looking?
There's a slight variation on the camo version, but when I say minimal, we're talking less than $10 for a camouflage version versus a black or, you know, there's no variation in the colors as far as FDE or green, but there isn't a camo, obviously, because we've got to pay a licensing fee to put that in camo. So we had to kind of figure out how to make up that licensing fee somewhere. Yeah, so, you exactly. know, increase, I think it's like $7 different for a camo version.
Right. Now, Gunpowder Beauty out there, she's a part of the Gun Gal. She's asking, has there been any talk about ladies' colors in the future?
If we could get the input and, you know, getting the input for something like that, whether it be a solid ladies' color, a pink or a purple, or, you know, a camo in that color variation, you know, it's really pretty easy to make them. I mean, it's molded. So, I mean, it's just like Magpul or anybody else that's molding anything out of a polymer. I mean, it's just a change in the pigment. You know, we may not do 10,000 of them, but, you know, it'd be a possibility to do a small run of a couple of hundred just to have them on hand. But, you know, if I could see those, you know, on the Swagger Facebook page or the Instagram page, or even just sending it in to the info at Swagger, you know, saying, hey, we'd like to see some ladies' colors. Well, then, yeah, we could do a color variation for women. Yes.
Right. Gotcha. We're talking about the molding, and that gets me kind of into the manufacturing and all that good stuff. Yep. Where are they manufactured out of?
Louisville, Kentucky. So they're 100, you know, and when I say they're 100% USA made, I'll be honest, the legs, we import the legs, you know, and the reason for that is you can't find anybody in the US that will fool with aluminum on the scale that we need it, you know. And so we've actually, as opposed to trying to cut corners and be cheap, we've been forced to go overseas for that product because we can't find a anybody in the U.S. to manufacture it for us.
Sure, but as far as the molding and assembly, that sort of stuff, all done in house with it.
Well, all the manufacture, as far as the molding on the body, all the machining of any small metal parts, the spring manufacturing, the spike feet, I mean, all that stuff. I mean, that's all done in the U.S.
Cool.
The only thing that we import is the legs, like I said, because we're forced to do so.
Right. Well, that's one of, I guess, other than, well, there's like a structure, I guess, inside the housing. There's some type of a metal structure there. Obviously,
well, it's not even really so much a metal structure as it is just the, you know, the molded design inside of it. And I will tell you, if you ever take one apart, you're going to have to call me to get it to put back together.
Right. But, I've never taken one apart.
Yeah,
why I had to ask.
Yeah, you're not missing much on that, I'll tell you. But, you know, it's more of just the molding inside that, you know, it's fairly intricate. It's not rocket science by any means, but it's just one that's where the magic happens of the deployment is on the inside of it.
Right. We had guitar man Pete out there was asking for a link. So yeah, I'm going to drop a link for Swagger Bipods out there.
I got a couple of questions around the chat. If you got a second.
Yeah, go ahead. And I'll run through and see if we got any questions while you're doing that.
Yeah. Guitar man Pete actually asked, there's two questions from the chat. First one was from Pete. He said, this is for Dustin. I guess he's looking like a UTG bipod. He's kind of asking, what are the advantages of the Swagger over a UTG bipod?
Okay, so in the grand scheme of things, the Swagger has really been more developed as a hunting bipod.
Well, that would be like the field model or the
Correct.
Hunter model, right?
Correct. Yeah, that would be the hunter model is really...
Now, what is, just to back up just a second so we know what we're talking about. Is there still a field model? I know there was
the hunter series has replaced, like I said, that's
it replaced it. Okay.
It's replaced the field models.
Okay.
So
good.
The field models were 15, 16, hunter series came out 17 and 18.
Okay.
So yeah, and to answer that question, as far as the advantage to a UTG, obviously it's made in America. I'm going to just say that first and foremost. And if you took your bipod and dropped it, if you were just to give a durability answer, if you took that UTG and ran over it with a truck, it's going to be destroyed. You can take my bipod, run over it with a truck, pick it up, throw it on your gun, and it's going to work the exact same as you did when you took it off the gun to stick it underneath the truck.
Yeah,
there's no springs or hooks or none of that stuff is involved in this bipod. So the durability test is definitely, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, is it aesthetically pleasing as a UTG bipod? Probably not to some people. I think they're beautiful, but it's because it, you know, it pays my bills. So I love the way it looks, you know, but.
Well, it truly is purpose driven. And,
sure.
And I don't mind jumping in here for a second and throwing my two cents in there about it. What is impressive with me, with Swagger across the board, with some of the stuff we've talked about that we obviously can't mention here, and as well as you know, new stuff down the line and some products that'll release soon. Hopefully we get to talk about one of those here in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, is the innovation. And what's really cool about I keep calling it the field model, but I'm an old fuddy-duddy.
It's okay. You've been seeing it since 15, Chris.
Right.
So I get
hunter,
it. Yeah.
A hunter model. Try to catch myself on it. Is the versatility in it as far as movement?
Yes.
Standing, sitting, kneeling. You know, off a log, off a rock, and then you've got essentially as flexible as you are in degrees of movement. Right.
The only limitation is you.
I mean, if you're a yoga instructor, you can pretty much do 360 degrees with the thing.
Correct. That is correct. And I will say this, at range day, you know, at SHOT Show, we had a guy sitting next to us in the booth saying, man, that's the hokiest thing I've ever seen in my life, you know. And we said, well, man, come try it. Come take a gander at it. Look at what you can do. And he was like, oh, you can't load that thing. You can't do this. You can't do that. And he left with one after sitting there and playing with it. Ringing steel at an 800 yards at a range day. I mean, if you want to use it as a, what I'm going to say, a precision rifle type bipod, it will do it. Is that its sole function? That's not what it was truly designed for, but it sure will do it and do it well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of go to that second question that I want to say maybe it's Patriot. I'm sorry. No, it's Calaveras. Calaveras was asking earlier, and this is, which size do you recommend for someone that's going to be using it on a bench at a range or something for precision or for zeroing it in?
You're going to, the 29 inch model is what you're going to use. And the reason for that is, you know, you can, it just goes to 29 inches. It's like 11, it's 11 and some change tall when it's not deployed. But like Chris was just saying, when you deploy those legs, you can spread them out as far as you want to and get down there, get stable. You can get the gun down low. You can use it just like a precision bipod if you want to. I mean,
you know, that's a great point that I didn't think about when I was talking earlier. That's another thing is you've got all these different bipods on the market, like the UTG and the Harris stuff and even brand name ones, right? And those legs don't spread. They don't go width-wise, right?
Nope.
And that's what's cool about that Swagger is it can get you a low center of gravity if you need it. I mean, it's awesome, the movement that you have with the thing.
If you need to go lower while you're sitting there on your bench, if you need to go lower, you don't have to fool with the legs. You just lean back. And that thing, that with the spring technology, it drops back, gives you a stable platform. You need to go higher, just lean forward. You know, if you're a little off canter, well, instead of having to sit there and fiddle fart with something, just twist your gun a little bit, put the canter to it, and you're going to be able to stay stable in any situation.
Yeah, right.
Was this the bipod that you shot at range day, Chris? Because whatever, and I don't want to talk about
that. That was the precision. That was the precision. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. The precision's a different animal.
That thing was crazy good.
Now, the 817 out there, I want to say thanks to 817. He dropped $1.99, so that's a Pepsi. Thank you, sir. I want to get on to still talking about this hunter for a little bit. How does one attach that? Whether they have some type of a rail or it's just a hunting rifle.
Yeah, there's two different variations. Actually, three different variations now. But the variation that it comes with, it attaches to a standard sling swivel on any firearm that has a standard sling swivel that we've all been seeing for 50 years. It attaches to that. Well, we got a lot of guys that are shooting, you know, can I say AR or do I need to say modern sporting rifles? You know, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I don't know what the lingo, you know, if we're being, you know.
It changes from day to day, so just roll with it.
Yeah. But, you know, if you've got just an M-lock piece on the bottom of your handguard, well, we make a one-piece attachment that goes directly onto that, let's say, 3-inch piece of pick rail, and it attaches directly to that. It's two screws, screw it together, then you just pop the bipod on, attach what you need, and go from there. I mean, it's...
And if you, let's say you, because, you know, I don't want to call them expensive, but if we're talking about versus a UTG, they're expensive, right?
Correct. One thing I will say is that they're, you know, I got to be kind of hush-hush, but anybody will see it because, you know, they'll see what I'm talking about. But SHOT Show-wise, there are some things in the pipeline to combat that.
Yeah, right. But the what I was getting at, I mean, I think well worth the money. I mean, if you want a good versatile bipod, without a doubt, because it does what literally no other bipod will do. And it's competitively priced with some of the nicer you know,
if you're buying a Harris, if you're buying an American made or a quality bipod, it's competitively priced.
Oh yeah, definitely. So let's say that somebody, they're like, well, okay, I can buy one, but I have three hunting rifles. How easy is the swap over?
Well, it's not even so much that you can, I mean, the swap over is easy, but at the same time, you know, Amazon or several online, Midway, Brownells, they're all selling them. You can buy just the piece to put onto the sling swivel, where there's all you got to do is unscrew the screw that attaches it to the weapon, and you're set to go.
Oh wow! So like a quick release type.
Well, it's not so much a quick release. Just you don't have to go through the whole disassemble process. You can remove two screws and attach it to the next gun.
Okay, just two screws and go. Okay, so not completely toolless in a way, but okay.
Well, I mean, you to remove the bipod, you don't need tools. The only time you need a tool is you need a Phillips head screwdriver to attach the one piece to your swing swivel.
Okay.
And then the bipod attaches to that.
So what you're saying is you need the piece that the bipod attaches to. Once you have that, then the swap out is fairly simple.
Correct.
Okay. Awesome.
So user out there is wanting to know, since we're on this topic right here, he said, pardon his ignorance, but is this bipod more suited for a hunting rifle or an AR style platform?
Well, I shoot it on both. You know, I've got it on some 300 Win Mags that have been built specifically for sheep hunting, as well as 6.5 Creedmoors that we, we're elk hunting and we're sheep hunting up in the mountains with. But at the same time, I have one of the taller versions, the 42 inch version. I have that on an AR platform that I take out with thermal and suppressor and go do work on pigs at nighttime.
And that one works really well from the standing position.
Exactly. And yeah. You got to lean over a little bit if you're standing, but if people go to the website or go to the Swagger YouTube channel or to Facebook, you can actually see there's a way that we demonstrate shooting where you can actually shoot standing up with the leg extended, bent, and stuck into your hip to give you a stand up straight, sturdy shooting platform.
That's what I was getting ready to bring up, because they demoed that when Chris was at the range day, and that was awesome. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, and that's how I shoot pigs at nighttime the majority of the time. Well, and the reason being is your body is a pivot. At that point, you've got the bipod stuck into your hip, and your body is swinging to shoot these pigs running. Or if you need if the pig's closer to you, I mean, you use your body as a pivot at that point. We were shooting steel at 700 yards off the hip with the bipod at range day.
And I guess, I mean, I don't know if you would want to, but technically, I guess you could stabilize it and utilize it, if especially like an AR platform, almost as if it was a foregrip or something. That's if you wanted to, couldn't you?
And a lot of people, like I've gone from the hip to just squeezing the legs together, using it like a forward grip. I mean, I've done it all. It's so versatile that however you can think to use it, you can use it.
It works.
If you've got a 2x4 set up on each side of you, and you want to spread the legs out and just sit it there in between two 2x4s, you can do that if you want to. It'll do it. We've tried it. It will work that way.
Wow. Now, Gunsnob out there, he's asking, how small does that 42 collapse down to? Do you know?
That's going to be a 20 to 21 and some change. It's about 21 and some change. You know, and when I say some change, I don't 3/16 or 5/16.
Right.
Or something. Yeah, But it goes down to about 21, which when you put it into the actual, if people are looking at it, it's the legs stick out about 9 inches out of the front side of the bipod when it's not deployed. Mm-hmm. As where on the hunter, when on the 29 inch, they're almost flush with that molded body. So I mean, there's your 9 inches of difference for the 42
inches. And that was. And that was going to be my question, because I know Mad Sexy that had won, and I don't even know which one you guys sent him, to be honest with you. But I know the one he won for the giveaway, he put it on his 22, and it was a little, the body of it anyway, kind of stuck out a little bit. It was a little long because he put it on a 22.
Sure, sure.
So that was going to be my next question. Is the body size the same? I guess it
is. All the way across, okay. Yeah. It is the okay. same. And, you know, and that's one thing that... That's
so if you wanted... So that goes back into if you buy one and then you want longer legs or shorter legs, you could actually order a set of legs.
You can. You call me and you want some legs. We'll get you some legs.
Okay.
If you get the 29 and say, man, this just isn't what I'm needing, get in touch with us. Say, hey, I really want some 42s. Well, if your legs aren't beat to crap, you know, then we'll just I'll get you some legs. I'll swap your legs out for you. Now, if they're beat to crap, I'm going to sell you some legs, but they're not expensive. You know, it's not like I'm going to charge you $100 for some
sure.
legs.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Yeah.
But one thing that I was going to say is the thing that we've gotten the most, and I don't want to say pushback, but the thing that that we've had more people bring up is that body is really big. And so
that's exactly what I was fixing to ask. Is there any plans on making? I know if you change that body, then you almost have to go with shorter legs, though.
Well,
right?
not really, because all that's doing is just housing the legs. And mm-hmm. so if you can hold those legs stable in a shorter body, then we're working. That is something that we're working on. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that, you know, here in the next 6 months or 5 months that, yeah, the body's going to be half the size.
Right.
But that is one thing that's being worked on right now that we're working on with the engineer and all that is how can we cut the body size down a little bit? Because like I said, mm-hmm. I'm using iPhone as an example. The iPhone 1 was great. There's iPhone 2. And now we're at iPhone 10, you know.
Something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, this thing's ever evolving. You know, we're doing good business. You know, we've got a lot of interest from some of the military side of things. You know, we were at range 37, and some people might know what that is. I don't know if everybody
does. I do.
Does,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we've actually, they're training on our bipods at range 37. They have rifles with our bipods at range 37 training with them.
Right. Now on
we have bipods overseas right now we have bipods deployed right now.
Cool, very cool. And now with the body size we were talking about, that's something I noticed after he had gotten his. He sent me the pictures. He got it on. He was happy with it, all that good stuff.
Sure,
he got it on and whatever. And you know, I thought back to NRA because at NRA you guys had the prairie dog virtual prairie dog hunting booth.
Correct.
And I thought, you know, this is billed as the hunter now. I didn't think that at the time because I'm sure I was confused, but
sure.
it's billed as a hunting bipod.
Correct.
And I thought, you know, I know you do a lot of larger game and probably most of the people that have them probably do larger game, but you got to think that those prairie dog hunters and things like that with the smaller framed rifles, smaller platform rifles.
And that's one thing. That's one of the videos, one of the kind of the things that we're going to work on.
Yeah.
Is going and taking several people, you know, and going and doing a prairie dog hunt and just showing how, I mean, cause I've prairie dog hunted a couple times. I know how awesome it would be. It's just something, you know, time. It's all about time. So. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He pretty much answered earlier when you guys were talking about things that could be in development, but Rich White was asking if something you guys are ever thinking about making, maybe a smaller, you know, he called it a tactical bipod, but maybe a little smaller one, maybe more of a precision or something like that. But he kind of answered that. You are looking possibly at different sizes.
Well, and that's a good segue probably to move into the precision a little bit.
Correct. You know, we do make the precision bipod, and it y'all saw it at SHOT Show. It's got the same functionality and movement capabilities.
Oh, it's better, I think.
Well,
yeah, that was Pat Mammoth's hammer right there.
The self-leveling crap was amazing.
But I'm just saying, it's got the same. It moves. It's got the innovation of moving wherever you can push one button, raise a leg, drop a leg, deploy it with a button, It's all one button.
Thumb switch, basically.
Thumb switch, yeah. It's all one thumb switch. And, you know, one of the reasons that it's not necessarily on the market right now is we're still streamlining it. We work with a guy named Scott Ford, who's a pretty legit gentleman in the military service, and he's kind of who we bounce a lot of stuff off of. He really works pretty close with us on helping, you know, when I say pick something apart, if we build something, he tells us if it's crap or not.
Right.
So he got a hold of the Precision. He said, hey, this is what we need to change. It needs to be able to come on and off a little faster, you know, quick detach wise. If we could make, you know, that thumb, you know, the thumb button y'all are talking about. Well, he's like, you know, that's great, but if we can make it a little bit bigger, because most of these guys that are going to be using it are using gloved hands. They need to be able to find it easier. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're doing, you know, this and that. And I mean, that one should be out. You know, I'm hoping you'll see that in stores in October.
We have any idea what MSRP on that one's going to be?
You know, I will say it's going to be competitive with an Atlas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, you know, in that Atlas Badger, you know, in that market.
Right. Gotcha.
It could be, like I said, I'd love to say it was going to be 250, but I don't know with what all goes into it. I don't know. I mean, it could be on the side of that high end Atlas. It could be, you know, 429.
Sure. Wow. Well, that's the problem. Most people don't understand. It was something with this. It might take 2 years of R&D to come up with this product. How much millions has a company spent just on R&D in 2 years? Well, and it's one of those things, we'd love to sell it for $150, but yeah, it's probably a $300 bipod because we spent so much time and effort in this thing.
Well, I will tell you, whenever we send one to somebody to use and beat down, that one model is more than $100, I will tell you that. When we get a prototype, there's several thousands wrapped up in any particular prototype.
And then you get that back, and you've got to change the prototype again because of all the feedback you're getting.
Correct. And so, you know, we're really close on it. Like I said, we changed the QD mount where it goes on a lot quicker, and we were changing, you know, the thumb switch that you and Chris had seen. We're changing the size on that. So if you've got gloved hands, you can whip right up there with that glove and feel your thumb on it and get to work. You know, that one's geared really and truly towards the precision shooter, towards the military. Yeah, you know, and that's what it's geared for.
Yeah. Now the precision model, the legs are easily changed on that, aren't they?
Correct. The same, like I said, all you got to do is when you can pull them right out. You push the button to open up the collets,
right.
Pull that leg out. You can slap the longer leg in there and have a longer version of it if you want to.
Or even a short one on one side and a long one on the other. If that's
exactly. Well, the thing is, Chris, is you could, but you got to think, if you've got one leg extended, you can always roll over to that one side, put that pressure in with that button.
You know what? Yeah.
System works,
you're right.
Right up.
You're right. With the versatility on it, I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And so, I mean, it's, there's a lot of thought that's been gone into that bipod.
Well, if I remember correctly, and I didn't get a chance to shoot it, Chris did, but I sat there with the guys, a couple of guys actually about 45 minutes away from here in Arkansas, which is cool. We were talking, but the great thing about it is for the size, you know, the size of it, which is there to handle a nice big bolt action rifle.
Correct.
It's very, very maneuverable. It's very, very mobile. You can get up and get gone on the run and on the move quickly. It's not this huge bulky thing, even though it's there to handle a high powered rifle, which that was really impressive to me.
Well, I will tell you that I've had a 27 pound rifle on it with no issues at all, jumping up and down with it.
Cool. Yeah, it's very sturdy.
I haven't put the 51 pound rifle on it yet to see how it works, but that's coming. That's in the works.
That'd be a cool video.
Once they give me one to tear up, then I'll do it with the 51 pound gun. And Chris knows what I'm talking about.
It belongs to me.
Yeah.
that's going to require a special adapter to be made, though. I think to even put
that's
it
correct.
On that one.
Yeah,
it's what's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I got to play with it on on range day. And I mean, the ease at which, you know, you were able to adjust. I mean, the fluid movements and everything with it. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it. User out there was saying, so, you know, for a target rifle, the precision probably would be the better option, correct?
If that is your sole purpose of that rifle, then yes. And like I said, you know, before you went out and bought a precision, I would say, you know, maybe hold tight and look and see what's coming out at SHOT Show. Look what we might be bringing out at SHOT Show.
Right. Because it's going to be pretty close. Would you say October-ish? Maybe on the precision?
The October on the precision, yeah. I mean, and that's tentatively, that's if when we go and get this next little thing done that we're working on, like I said, that being the, you know, making sure the QD mm-hmm. works great, but we want to make sure it's durable. You know, you can design something that's fantastic, and the second you throw a rifle down on it, the thing might snap off and break, and then you're back to square one. You know, because you can't, we can't infringe on patents. You know, I mean, you got to kind of, when you're coming up with your own thing, you got to kind of recreate the wheel almost, you know, so you don't infringe on somebody's patent, because in this business, patents don't play, you know, so you got to be real careful. And that's another part that a lot of people don't think about is when we have a product, we probably have 6 months or 7 months of patent attorney people researching products to make sure that we're not infringing on somebody's patent, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm assuming they're not cheap.
No, they are not cheap in the slightest little bit. And, you know, that's kind of what's tricky about the gun industry is there's a lot of people in the gun industry that'll let you go ahead and do it. You know, I say that they'll be kind of sneaky, let you go in and do something, you make $5 million over 2 years, and all of a sudden they've been waiting for you, and they'll just come in and say, all right, well, I'm going to need, $4,640,000. You can keep $200,000 of what you made. I want the rest of it because that's my patent. You know, so you got to watch that. You know?
They kind of give you. They kind of give you a shovel to let you dig a hole. That's what they do.
Correct. And there's lots of people out there that I would do that if I knew somebody was infringing and they were making a ton of money. I would do that.
Yeah. Right. No doubt. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. They'll Jake out there was talking about, I think it was Jake. Was it Jake? He was talking about he put one on his number 4 Mark I. I was talking about an infield, obviously. So just a matter of a way to attach it, I'm guessing, right?
Well, I mean, that Mark I, am I correct, Chris? That's got a military style canvas sling holder on the front, like a muzzle band or something, correct?
Yeah, it's a canvas.
I mean, what we have to tell guys with like Thompson, you know, Contenders and Encores is you gotta drill a swivel into it, man. I will say this: we've got some guys that shoot them off shotguns, mm-hmm. and they duct tape the things to the shotguns opposed to just drilling a swivel in, they'll duct tape the thing to it.
Now, what do they use them for when they're using shotguns?
For turkey hunting.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're using them for turkey hunting I'm not a huge turkey hunter, but I have been, and sometimes those guys are shooting turkeys' heads off at, you know, 65, 70 yards, which takes a little bit of precision shotgun shooting.
Got to be a little steady, yeah, sure.
That, and that cuts down on movement, be able to just to have your gun sitting there waiting, and all you got to do is bring it to your shoulder and fire, as opposed to having to pick it up off the ground or get a shooting stick out and throw a shooting stick on it, or, you know, I mean, it's just sitting there kind of waiting, so... They figured out the best way they could to mount them to shotguns.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, again, we get back into just the versatility of the Swagger line in general, especially if you're in a hunting situation to where, you know, you've got the potential for multiple shots on multiple game, right?
Correct. That's correct.
It makes things just so much more seamless. I mean, you don't really have to pick anything up or move anything or make any real harsh movements. I mean,
you can flow with it. It just rotates
your shoulders a little bit, you know, cant to one side and you're there.
Correct.
Speaking of the hunting, on the hunting side of things, just for a little bit, especially on the Swagger Instagram, and I don't have that up. I guess I need to try to pull that up. If one of the mods out there maybe can look that up and do it if I don't have time here. But a lot of cool picks come through the Swagger. People tag you guys and whatever with all the different game. It's amazing.
Correct.
Do you know the largest game that's been taken with the Swagger bipod?
They've been to Africa. I mean, they've taken. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they've taken an elephant, but you know, cool. I mean, they've taken elk, and you know, they've taken moose. They've taken, you know, all the deer species. Josh, who is our, you know, the marketing. Head of marketing. Y'all met him, I'm sure. I know you did it at NRA, Chris.
Yeah, we have.
You know, Josh just went to New Zealand about 3 months ago, or 4 months ago, and, you know, shot a giant red stag using them. Oh, so, sweet. I mean, it's there. I mean, like I said, that mountain terrain in New Zealand was fantastic. You know, I mean, it worked perfectly, you know. And my wife the other day, who's a stone-cold killer, you know, she shot a gigantic Audad off of one, you know, and she'll tell you without it, she could not have made the shot, or she could not have taken that game if she hadn't been using a Swagger.
Right. And that Boyer, didn't he get something not too long ago?
And that's one thing that, you know, people need to think about with youth, and you too, Chris. You know, my son with the 42 inch model, I can extend it and he shoots off of it just like a shooting stick. It's stable. Yeah. He can swing. He can lean back if he's a little bit low. It's very, very effective.
Well, Ghost and I appreciate that because it's nothing like things being designed for short people, right?
Correct. So, I mean,
yourself.
I will say this, that, I won't say, I know you're involved in 4-H quite a bit, Chris. You know, I won't say that it's fantastic because of how the difference that y'all shoot. But if y'all've got it, if there's a young kid out there that can't hold a 22 up, but is old enough to shoot one, or that just wants to try it out, or even for a pellet gun has a swing swivel on it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you can put it on a pellet gun and a kid can get out there and shoot and have a good time. Like my son thinks he's a freaking sniper because he has one on his pellet gun. You know, he'll talk about, I want to go and shoot prone, Dad. I want to go and shoot prone. I'm like, well, it's going to be pretty tough because your bipod's 21 inches tall. So you're going to have to shoot kneeling, you know.
Right.
So just the kid aspect, it's fantastic for kiddos for support. I mean, just helping them, you know, and a lot of guys are shooting crossbows off of them.
Yeah, I seen an Instagram pic with that the other day.
If you've got a sling swivel, you can shoot a crossbow off of it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, especially the whole point of allowing the crossbow, I think a lot of it was for, you know, disabled people. Not necessarily disabled, but maybe that couldn't, you know, use a bow. And I mean, if that's the case, then I mean, holding a crossbow up may be a problem for some of them.
Think about a guy with one arm, you know. What's he gonna do? He's got one arm, you know. So you got a crossbow or a rifle, and he doesn't have to fiddle with anything. You deploy the thing. He doesn't have to worry about adjusting it. All he's got to do is move his body up and down, left and right, whatever he needs to do, and he's got the same mobility shooting as me and you do, you know. And so, I mean, you know, perfect example right there of versatility.
Sure. Yeah. Now, guitar man Pete out there, he's asking, and we sort of uncovered it, but he said, will Swagger be coming out with other accessories on the same level of quality? I guess the Hunter is that the only product for Swagger? We'll talk about some of the other ones real quick with the other companies, but as far as Swagger, it's just the Hunter right now, right?
Right now, it's just the Hunter, but I will tell everybody that there are three things that everybody needs to be looking for coming out. Like I said, you know, we do everything at SHOT just like everybody else, but we do have three new products that are going to be out at SHOT Show that are just as versatile, just as well thought out and in some cases more functional for different people.
All right, cool. Now let's before we jet here, let's move over to the other side just a little bit. Just talk a little bit about the other stuff out there, just to kind of get it out.
Yeah.
The Big and J stuff.
Correct. You know, Big and J, like I said, they are the number one in deer attractants. I mean, they hold 94% of the market, and a lot of people argue that, but the numbers don't lie on that one. And with that, you know, the best way to show how good the stuff is and how many people use it is if you go to Big and J's website and look at dealers. When you go to click on locate a dealer, the map is red because there are so many dealers in the U.S. that sell the stuff now. You know, every Walmart has it. Every Tractor Supply has it. Every Atwoods has it. There, I mean, any far, you know, in the Midwest, Rural King, anybody, you can go buy the stuff anywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, what they came out with this year is a product called Poured On. And it takes the original BB Square mix, which has been their, you know, the lifeblood of the company, and mixes it with their number two product, which is called Deadly Dust. And it mixes the two together. And if you can bait in your state, the Poured On is the way to go. It's lethal, man. I can post the picture, but, you know, the ram that my son just shot, well, when we're taking pictures of it, I mean, it's bloody all over the place. It's got blood coming out of its nose, but you know, it got shot with its face buried in a pile of Poured On, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, the deer, the elk, the pigs, oh my goodness, the pigs. I mean, they're just killing it right now. And it's not just an attractant. It's got nutritional value to it as well. So it's, right. You know, it's herd health for your deer, for your wildlife. I mean, mm-hmm. You don't have to be a hunter to enjoy the stuff. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, you can, if you just like watching wildlife, you throw some of that stuff out there. The deer, you can watch the deer eat off your back porch. You know, you don't have to shoot them. I don't shoot every deer I see.
Right.
You know? I mean, mm-hmm. And so I like watching them just as much as I do shoot. And so it's just a really solid product. You know, and one way that a lot of people can start seeing some of this is we own a TV show that Big and Jay owns a TV show called The Given Right. Well, mm-hmm. The Given Right is the first hunting television show on the Discovery Channel. So the Discovery Channel is airing, people may know this already, I don't know, but they're airing hunting and fishing television shows on the Discovery Channel now. And The Given Right was the first hunting show on the Discovery Channel. So y'all can, you know, you don't have to have Pursuit or the Outdoor Channel or any of that. You can go and watch The Given Right and you'll see Swagger. You'll see the Big and J. You'll see how all this stuff is working. If you want to, you'll see probably some of the sneak peeks of the new products during that show that I can't really say much about. Those sneak peeks will start rolling out here in the next several months for people to see. So if y'all are on the Discovery Channel and just kicking around, check out that Given Right show, mm-hmm. and you can see probably some of the new products of ours on that show in the commercials and all that.
Cool. Now,
John Z has a question out there, Clover, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm not completely sure what he's talking about, but yeah, go ahead.
Maybe Dustin might know more because I'm a little confused, but he's wanting to know if there's any ideas for a bipod sling for when you're carrying it.
Kind of like as far as like a folding out bipod or a sling specifically. Well, I would say,
yeah, I don't know.
Yes, me. I don't get if he's talking about being able to attach it or what.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. If he's talking about a way to attach it to the bipod, the way that the bipod attaches to the gun, the two screws are sling swivels.
Oh.
So you can attach a sling directly to the bipod via there's two different variations. You can put it in two different places if you want to.
So you could have a 2-point sling and part of that could be attached directly to the bipod if you
correct.
Wanted it to.
Correct. Like I said, there's two screws. I don't want to say they're screws, but they're not like a wood screw. You know, there's two pieces of hardware that connect the bipod to the gun, and those are both the head of those are made to attach a sling to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
But maybe as far as a sling with a bipod, no, we're not doing a sling with a bipod that pops out of it. I think that's already been done.
Oh, okay. Oh, I kind of get what he's talking about now. Yeah, I've seen those too.
Yeah, there's like a sling. There's like two sticks inside of.
But some of the stuff coming up for SHOT Show.
Some of the
maybe kind of similar. Yeah,
maybe something that he wants to take a gander at, as right. opposed to, like I said, I mean, I'd love everybody go buy a Swagger tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You can buy them at Amazon, Midway. Everybody go buy one. Listen, go buy one tomorrow. It'll be great. My boss will love it.
Yeah,
but right. you know, if you're kind of on the fence and say, "Man, it's cool," all that, just hold tight for a couple months and just look and see what's fixed to start coming out.
Yeah,
and there'll definitely be something. There'll be something for everyone. Come SHOT Show.
Yeah, and that's the case as you start adding products to the line, you know.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's going to be
like I said. One of the products. That's coming, I will tell you, I'm a bigger fan of it than I am of the original Swagger, and it's about it's probably going to be $80 cheaper or maybe even $100 cheaper than a Swagger is.
Marco out there is wanting to know some of the data you guys have received from some of your test clients. Do you know kind of what MOA improvement someone can expect from going from a non-bipod to a Swagger bipod?
That's a tough question because, I mean, that has a lot to do with the shooter as much as it does, you know, anything. But, you know, I mean, I will tell you this. In a situation, in a rocky, uneven terrain, just shooting off the fly situation, there's drastic improvement. Now, I don't know an exact, you know, I'm not going to say we've seen better, you know, we've seen a 3-inch improvement in grouping or anything like that, but it's a definite improvement in uneven ground. I mean, that
honestly also depends on the distance you're shooting at as well.
Correct. That is correct. But you know, like I said, these guys, you know, they came over, picked this thing up and were shooting seven. You know, I wasn't there for them shooting off the hip at 700 yards, mm-hmm. but there were several people that were shooting it off their hip, hitting steel at 700 yards. And there were several people shooting it off the bench or shooting it prone or shooting it off a knee that were shooting at the 800 at range day.
I was shooting 9.
There you go.
Prone, yeah. And Ghost can verify that he was spotting. And I didn't miss an entire magazine.
Yeah,
that's right.
Creed.
Yeah. So I mean, it's.
I mean, it was gravy. It's not like I was. I mean, I was proper technique. I know how to shoot, right? So
sure.
I mean,
it, sure.
You know, I was paying attention to my trigger pull and my breathing and then everything that you need to do, but it was not difficult.
Sure. Sure.
You know, one bit. I mean, it was as steady as it could be, which was.
And, you know, a lot of people look at the thing and say, man, that thing's got to be heavy. Thing's got to be heavy.
It's not that bad for the size. Yeah. It looks awful.
It only weighs about an ounce more than that UTG. Or than that Harris that doesn't even go to 11 inches. It only weighs an ounce more than one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the 29 inch model. Now on the 42 inch model, it weighs about 4 ounces more.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, you think about when you get a Harris or a Blackhawk or a UTG or a Champion that goes to that distance. Well, that thing is it doesn't weigh much more than one of those. So. The size is not indicative to the weight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And again, I mean, you just absolutely do not have the versatility.
No, not at all. we can't show it, but we did a test with everybody's bipod and did durability, did shootability, did all that. And, you know, there's a couple of people, and there's a couple of those, man. And funny enough, the UTG was one of the better ones out of everybody, even better than, like I said, I will say this, that the UTG was relatively tough comparative to some that were a lot more expensive than it was.
Yeah. But, well, some of those more expensive ones are kind of for the finesse. They're not to be beat around.
Yeah, either. You know, and we did a drop test. And so there's one company who is very tactical, and their bipods, you can't even drop the thing from 10 feet without the thing coming apart, you know. And
right.
And there's, you know, and at the same time, you know, if you kick it, you know, if you kick that thing, and what, you know, one thing that I've done, because I've done some testing on them too, because they, you know, we play around a lot. Well, go and kick a leg out from under that rifle and watch what happens to that bipod. Mm. That leg's going to tear right off that aluminum body, and you're going to be stuck with one leg trying to figure out how to do it. Well, right. Go kick a leg out from under a Swagger and watch what happens. Yeah, your gun hits the ground, but you pick the thing up, put the leg back underneath it, and go to work.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So okay. Well, we're at the top of the hour again. Wow, time flies when you're having fun for sure. So let's I'll run this one. Let Ghost get out any plugs or anything he wants to do real quick. Go ahead, Ghost.
I've got nothing, man. Get to the range, guys, and shoot as much as you can. Take someone that's never fired a gun to the range. Maybe expose them and introduce them to firearms. Maybe that turns them from a non-believer to a believer in self-protection. And turn the cameras on. We need all the voices we can get out there, especially with midterms coming up. If you have any questions or need help, there's a bunch of people here that will help you. Don't worry about quality. Just turn the camera on and be part of the community. Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you, Dustin.
Hey, you too, man. I appreciate it.
You bet. Let me throw out a couple of plugs real quick. I want to talk about next week. The Shooter Spotlight Series continues on Wednesday. We've got Alora Mayberry, I think. Yes, Alora Mayberry will be on, Youth Competitive Shooter, on Wednesday. And then Friday, I've got Phoenix Weaponry. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of them, but look them up if you haven't. And, of course, get questions ready for them. They're out of Colorado. That'll be on next Friday. So be looking for that. Dustin, yeah, thanks for being on, man. You're welcome back. Welcome back anytime. I think this is two or three times now you've been on.
Yes, sir.
Over the last year or two. But you're welcome back anytime, and glad you kind of rushed through your dinner for us. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. I'll talk to y'all guys soon. Thank you.
All righty. Have a good one. With that, guys, it is Friday. So obviously get out there, enjoy your weekend, spend time with the family, friends, love on those kiddos, all of that good stuff. Get to the range if you can. Do a little shooting. Have fun. Above all, be safe, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.